The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it was written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day, and that the repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm just wondering how many of you are big fans of all of, there's been a slew of these superhero movies, you know, based on the old comic books. How many of you just love the superhero movies? All right, I've got quite a few fans here. Anybody here seen the latest Avengers Endgame? These are the lovers, these are the haters on this side. Did you all work that out before you sat down? I don't. If you haven't seen it, it's epic. But what I want to ask is, why is it that we just love these big, epic stories? Because if you think about it, the storyline is almost always the same. It can be Star Wars or Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or Avengers Endgame. It's basically the same storyline in all of them. You've got the overwhelming forces of evil who threaten to destroy all that is good, and they want to bring death and destruction. They want to gain ultimate control of the world or the universe or whatever, and they use fear to control people. If you take, for example, in the Avengers movies, you've got the bad guy named Thanos. Thanos, by the way, in the Greek means death. And if you know this character, it says that he fell in love with death. He loves death. He's evil. He ends up wiping out half of all the population in the entire universe. But of course, the other part of the storyline, it seems like all is lost and along come the good guys, right? They're noble and they're courageous and they're even willing to sacrifice themselves for the greater good. You ever notice how they always seem like they're outnumbered and they're outgunned? You wonder as you're watching the movie and you're listening to the story, I don't know. Are they going to be able to pull it off? Are they going to be able to save the universe? And of course, they always do. And one of the things they almost always learn along the way is that they had far more than they ever thought they did. Why is it that we love these epic stories? Because the storyline they tell, it is the story. It's the story. All of these fictional myths, all of them, they resonate so deeply within us because we sense there's a bigger story going on, that it isn't all just chaos. It isn't all just by chance. There is a bigger story that really is going on. Those stories, they're all fictions, but this is the real story. And it is an epic cosmic battle for the entire universe. I mean, Satan is like Thanos. He loves death. He hates God. He wants to bring destruction everywhere. He is powerful, and he controls us with the fear of death. And then along comes an underdog carpenter from Nazareth. Little does anyone know that he's actually the great one. He is all-powerful God. And he sacrifices himself in the fight, and you think all is lost, at least for a couple of days. And then he comes back from the dead, and he defeats Satan, and he destroys death, and he sets us free, and he restores life to the entire universe. It's the story! But he's not the only hero in the story. Today we are celebrating his ascension. Now, Jesus' ascension, his going up into the sky, isn't suggesting that somehow now he's up there in the sky or the stars somewhere. That spatial movement upwards is to show us a relational movement. that what Jesus has done is now moved in all of his glory. He's moved beyond our earthly realm. He's moved now to the heavenly realm. The victor has gone up to take his place as the Lord and as the King of the universe. So now Jesus, rather than being in one place like the little town of Nazareth in Galilee, now, as King of the universe, he fills the universe with the power of his Holy Spirit. Now it's actually better. You know what we're going to hear next week as we celebrate Pentecost is that this king, once ascended to his throne, then promised, and we heard this in some of the readings, that he's going to send his Holy Spirit. And we'll hear about the coming of the Spirit next week. But in all three of our readings today, as again, they all talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, did you notice that in all three readings it said, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive great power? Do you know the power that has been given to you? I want to look again at our second reading for a few moments. Paul writes this, "May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe." The Greek word there for power is dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. And that Greek phrase, if you wanted to kind of translate it somewhat literally, that whole Greek phrase would be something like hyper mega dynamite. That's the power. And he goes on to explain what this power is. He says it's the exercise, or the energizing, it could be translated, the energizing of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named. The power is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Imagine with me for a moment on Easter Sunday morning if we could have been on the inside of the tomb at that moment. At that moment when Jesus came back to life, he's been dead for 3 days, his body laying there in the tomb, and then he comes back to life, and we were there to actually see that happen. What would it have been like? It wouldn't have been like, you know, he just sort of slowly resuscitated, you know, like you put the shock paddles on somebody and they kind of whimper back to life. Oh, no. The power of the resurrection, that body, that dead body comes roaring back to life and is now glorified. It's not a resuscitation. He doesn't come back to life as a mortal earthly man. He comes back as the immortal heavenly man. He's never going to die again. He has no limits, not limited by time. He's not limited by space. What if you could have seen that moment of that power? This is the power that caused him to ascend into the heavens, Paul says. Not power merely to levitate in the sky, but to take his place as Lord over all the universe, over every other power. This is the greatest power of all. Those of you who are Avengers fans, and if you've seen the movies, this is greater than having all 6 Infinity Stones. I know who's seen the movie now. Avengers fans, this is greater. This is the resurrecting, ascending power of God, and he is giving it to you. Now, we may be quick to say, I don't see it. If Jesus is one and he's reigning in heaven, then why does it look like we still live in a cosmic doomsday meltdown? Well, even though Satan and death are ultimately defeated, we are still under attack. Hebrews 2:8 says this, "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. And yet Christ's kingdom and his victory are revealed if we have the eyes of the hearts to see it." How so? You see, when the message of what Jesus has done for us is told to another person, and all of a sudden a hard, callous heart breaks open and a life is changed, that's the power. When goodness and love and compassion come with a cost but end up winning the day against all odds, that's the power. When beauty and life break in and chase ugliness and death away, that's the power. To use a World War II illustration, those of you who love history, we haven't gotten to V-Day yet, Victory Day. It's D-Day. It's D-Day, and with Jesus, what we're doing is we are invading the shores of Satan's kingdom. He's still fighting. but his defeat is inevitable. So the real question we have to ask ourselves is not whether we see him ruling the universe. The real question is he ruling you? From his throne ascended in heaven, is he the Lord and the King of your heart? If so, then this power is in you. Are you using it? Paul would later say in Ephesians 3, God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's our problem right there. We don't ask for it. We don't pray for it. We don't think, we can't imagine, we don't believe, we don't understand the power that it is at work in us. We don't understand what it can do. We think, well, you know, nothing really great ever happens to me or through me. The world is self-destructing and melting down, but I can't do anything about it. I'm not a superhero. You have the greatest power in the universe, the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead and ascended him to heaven. And you think, I can't do anything. Really? My goodness. You have more power than you think or even ask for. Have you ever noticed that the heroes in all of those epic movies, they're almost always reluctant to enter the battle? They want to go home, live a quiet, normal life like everybody else, just sort of stay out of it. But in the end, they can't do it. They can't deny the power that they've been given and the duty and the calling that they have to use that power for good, to battle evil, and even if they have to, sacrifice themselves for the good of the universe. When you watch those movies, basically there's three kinds of characters. There's the villains, there's the heroes, and then there's the extras, right? The extras, their role is to be the helpless victims and the innocent bystanders in the movies. They're the ones that are running as cars are being flipped over and buildings are being knocked down and lasers are shooting people. They're the no-name extras, and all they do is just get decimated. Who do you want to be in the story? Hopefully not the villains, right? But do you just want to be dead guy number three laying over there on the floor? Or do you want to be a superhero? Do you want to get in on the action? Do you want to join the mission? Do you want to save the universe? Because it is. It's an epic battle for the entire universe, and you've been given the power. You have the power that raised Jesus and caused him to be ascended. You have power to do far more than you ask or you think. You have a message that saves the world. You have a love that saves us from total destruction. And next week, as we do Pentecost, I want to talk more about how each of us are gifted individually to do that. But for now, I want to ask you just one question. Am I in? Ask yourself that question. Am I in? I want to give you about 30 seconds of some epic music to think about it.